And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a California Classic edition of the, I'm going to call it the Warriors All 82 podcast. I almost said Warriors Plus Minus, but there's a post game to discuss. Nate Duncan, who is with me. We are in on event level of an arena again. We just talked in person to Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody. We're seeing front office people. Like, it feels somewhat normal again.
That's why I'm here. It's worth the drive, even on the miserable Interstate 80 between the Bay and Sacramento. Why does it have to go down to three lanes there? I don't get it.
There are some points of that highway I do not love too much, but we're not here to talk about depressing things. We're here to talk about opportunity, development, future.
Yes.
The Warriors embracing the future. And for night one, it looked good. You know, Jonathan Kuminga we'll start with, and we'll get to Moody. The flashes, again, like, well, I don't know how many turnovers he ended up with, 5, 6, 7, whatever. I mean, some bad passes. You're getting the stat sheet there. You know, some jumpy defensive mistakes, which we can talk about, but the flash moments on offense, the power drives, the more touch than I was maybe expecting, particularly through contact. I mean, there was one where he went chest to chest with the center and kind of like kept himself on balance and banked it in. He had a up and under, like, where he kind of lefty chicken wing. You could almost call it an offensive foul, but he kind of chicken wing. I was like, that's a little craft. And then he had the one transition lefty to right crossover dunk that looked like what, you know, future superstar wings would do in transition.
Yeah, that was really exciting. And yeah, the flashes were outstanding. I mean, I thought he showed pretty good touch around the rim. And they put the ball in his hands. You know, he's able to push the ball in transition, dribble well enough, got some pretty good separation at times off the bounce or out of a triple threat position to get to the basket. And you know, got a shot block one time and, you know, there got into trouble with the 6 turnovers some other times. And the effort was inconsistent, but you did see him rev it up a few times, particularly in that third quarter. So as far as just what I expected from him, a guy who was incredibly inefficient in the G League and shot 25% from three, you know, this was a nice start, I think, for his career.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've talking to a bunch of coaches around and other people in the organization, I know one of the early, I guess, points that they're trying to improve on is they're trying to tighten up his handle a little bit. And you did see it at times. You know, he's driving and maybe the ball gets a little bit further away than he wants on the dribble. And there are some moments on the drive where he kind of has to stop. But you can see, like, when he does, when there are the moves where maybe he keeps it there, or even on some of the drives that are a little bit sloppier than you'd like, when he corrals it back, like, he's going to be able to score a ton on the drive in the league. And if they can pretty quickly get that handle a little bit crisper, like, he's got a chance to be a really good just downhill wing scorer, I think, like, relatively quickly in the league. Now, we'll get to the other stuff that might keep him off the floor, particularly in important moments in the next season or two. But just as, like, he profiles as a pretty good scorer.
Yeah, you definitely like his ability to drive to the basket. And you mentioned that the handle is not particularly tight in the beginning, but he also has at least some creativity off the dribble, some ability to react to what the defense is doing and go the other direction, like he did on that crossover for the big dunk. So that was encouraging to see. And I mean, that's part of why I liked him. You know, when I did my draft board, I had him 4 on my board because of his physical talent. And he's not a stiff out there. Like, he has some feel, some ability to do stuff offensively, very raw, obviously, but he's not a guy who's just, you know, can't change direction and doesn't have any kind of shake whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, again, that left to right crossover was like, ooh, that was like nifty. And it just completely right by, you know, whoever was defending him. Obviously, we know who they're playing against. One of the aspects, and I'll write about this in kind of my reaction to it, that I thought was very notable was the way they played him. You know, he was at center for probably half of his minutes. I wasn't exactly charting it, but I mean, he was, how many times do you remember one of Miami centers trying to post him up or trying to bang with him? And, you know, he wasn't 100% successful in those moments. I think there was at least two post-ups that were successful against him. He had a really nice strip at one point. He drew an offensive foul. He came over. He had one moment where he blocked a shot, rim protecting another. He seemed to kind of alter it. It's, you know, again, we're talking so much in like 2025 lens here, but, you know, a four who can shift down, downshift into the five in certain lineups is what he's looking like more than maybe like 3-4.
Yeah, I definitely think the four is going to be it. And what I like the most about, you know, matching up against Yurtseven, who's been pretty dominant here at the California Classic.
There you go.
Shout we'll, out. We'll be talking
third
about
annual. Third annual.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this classic for and his performance here for a long time. But it's just the fight that he showed. Like, he got two offensive fouls just fighting for position. Then we talked to him afterwards, and he said, yeah, like, the biggest thing about guarding the five is, you know, do your work early. So he does seem like he is able to internalize some of those lessons and worked hard. I think, you know, he really, like, used his effort to get himself revved up early in that third quarter, which I like. Now, do I think that he has the natural help instincts and the rebounding ability to be a small ball five, you know, regularly? No, I don't necessarily think that. But, okay, if you switch and he's in the post against someone and he's not going to get killed, that's definitely something.
Yeah, I mean, switchable defender potentially. The passing, you know, it was inaccurate at times. I mean, there was the hit ahead in transition that was like 7 feet sailing over a teammate, and then he's looking at the teammate like, you know, come down with that, man. And then, you know, there were some drives where I like the idea of pinging that pass to the corner, but, you know, he's not exactly hitting the guy in the shooting pocket. The guy's like jumping up in the air to save it from going out of bounds. You know, we mentioned the turnover number six. He's going to have to clean that up, and that may take years to clean that up. But I do think he has some vision, and they've even talked, you know, Bob Myers, even in his press conference, and others have talked about, like, the tape shows, like, some creativity with the passing and some ambition. But, again, that early in his career is probably going to lead to more turnovers than, like, flashy assists.
Well, the other thing that I like, too, is part of why he was so inefficient at the G League level was they ran a lot of plays for him. They wanted him to really explore the studio space as a scorer. And he didn't really take – I don't think he took any – mid-range jumpers. Like, he took one where he tried to get the guy in the air and draw the foul, and it didn't work. That's something that he really liked to do based on his G League tape. And so, but I think even the fact that he's, you know, as a guy who came to basketball late, it's able to kind of implement some of these little tricks and just make those small improvements in his game, try to put more into it as time goes on. That's encouraging. So again, you know, this debut mean that he's going to be awesome? It doesn't, but I don't think that I could have expected much more tonight than what we saw, given, you know, where he is as one of the youngest players in the draft.
Yeah, I'd say the two final, like, maybe negatives that I wanted to talk about with, and, you know, we were sitting there watching it, like, there's the jumpiness defensively, a guard will show the ball here and he's jumping out, and then suddenly a wing's just back cutting him and is wide open. I mean, there were some defensive errors that scream of a young dude who's aggressive on defense. Again, I mentioned the steal in the post. I think he had another steal where he might create some disruptive moments, but within the team concept, you could see the difference tonight between him and Moody, who we'll get to.
Yeah, he reaches a lot, and then also just some of the errors that he made defensively are just – a result of not being in a good defensive stance all the time. So he'll kind of be standing up too much. A guy will make an initial move, catch him by surprise, and then he'll kind of almost jump to try to catch up with the guy, and then he can get off balance and get beaten backdoor or on a drive if he's on the ball. But that's something technique-wise that he can probably clean up. But they did have him guard really one through five, and he didn't get embarrassed out there. You know, he was guarding Max Strus coming off the screens, and Yurtz having it in the post, and so.
And he had a really good block. Like that was an impressive block.
I mean,
you thought it was a goaltend.
I mean, it was way up at the top of the square, though. So yeah, good start for him for sure.
And then the shot was the last thing I want to talk about with him. Yeah. You know, he had an air ball early. You know, it looks a little odd. I wouldn't say it's like any type of like broken form, but there's definitely like, how would you kind of describe the
jump? You know, he shoots it like kind of right off his forehead. It's a little stiff, you know, not what Mike Schmitz would call shooting an easy ball. you know, it doesn't have a ton of arc to it, but it's also like, you know, his elbows aren't flying all around. He doesn't really get his offhand involved in it too much. Talked to a coach with the Warriors before the game, and they said, yeah, you know, like his shot is fine. Like it's something that we can work with, that we expect to improve. You know, it doesn't need a total rebuild.
And he made a corner three, and he does seem like he's like very willing to take it, which is important for a young guy. You know, if you're going to improve, part of that is like you're going to need to arrive with the confidence of like, I will be a shooter.
Well, and I think also, and he talked about this, Coach Weems talked about it too, of just being able to make quicker decisions to use his athleticism. Now, you know, again, the way he was used in the G League, he was asked to actually do stuff on the ball a little bit more, and they asked him to do some of that today as well, and there's a couple of possessions where he's just dribbling the air out of the ball. But being able to, early in his career, be at the arc, make a decision quickly to shoot or pass. You know, he was like, he likes this pump fake sometimes, but, you know, the like pump fake to kind of get the guy in the air and then draw the foul, which if that doesn't work, then it slows everything down. So pump fake and drive, or just shoot immediately. That he did that on that corner three. So I think the third quarter, I thought really was the time when he was putting it all together, you know, more in the floor game than we had seen in the first half.
Moody, you know, he was billed as a potentially ready-made rotation player. We'll see. I mean, he's 19 still, but, you know, like he probably doesn't have the highest ceiling, certainly not of some of the other wing options in the draft, but mature game, patient game, pretty good off ball, seems to always be kind of moving into the right spots. He just shows up places, like late in the game when they're trying to kind of frantically come back. It's like, it seemed like every tip ball was like landing in his hands. He like followed a drive and it bounced right to him, you know, easy put back. I don't know how many rebounds he ended up with, but he was, again, kind of as advertised, I would say. Just like Kuminga was as advertised as like, whoa, high level talent, lots of refining to do. And Moody kind of came as advertised in his debut.
Yeah, he's got to clean up committing a foul down five with 2.7 seconds left, though. We got to, unless he's going to play for Taylor Jenkins in Memphis, that shit's not going to fly.
Steve's trying to just get his post game beer in. And
in the NBA, yeah, I got it. The Steve Kerr Modelo. But yes, I think, and it was interesting, sometimes when you watch guys on film and then you talk to them, they're, you know, we tend to like impute personality characteristics into a guy just like by watching him play basketball. But for Moody, actually just talking to him after the game, like you could kind of tell he's definitely mature beyond his 19 years. And, you know, I think Eric Musselman did a good job with him at Arkansas, and just some of the things that he talked about in the post game, like just, all right, my goal today was to not let guys drive middle, and I let them do that twice, but you know, I'm just trying to pick one thing to get better at every time when I'm out there. And you know, just having that mentality and not putting too much pressure on himself. Yeah, he shot 7 out of 18, but he didn't really seem to care about that too much. You know, I think he felt like he went out there and kind of executed what he was being told to do. And I think his jumper is pretty good. Like, he got in the offensive glass for 4 offensive rebounds. So he's just a smart player. I thought he did a good job of crashing into the paint and then rotating out, closing out. He's slow on offense. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing. He just doesn't have a first step. He's not really able to get separation, but that's not something, you know, maybe he can be a guy who will work into the mid-range and shoot over guys later in his career, but I don't see him as being a guy who has a lot of upside, but he also, I think, can be playable relatively early on in his career.
Yeah, like I don't think I see him scoring 18 points per game at any point, but, you know, especially when juxtaposed next to, you know, Kuminga, who's the other pick. It's like Kuminga kind of – the flashes of what Kuminga does and doesn't do are like almost opposite of what Moody does and doesn't do. You know, I don't see Moody, like you said, being able to just quick burst to the rim. He can't beat guys one-on-one off the dribble, whereas Kuminga tonight, you know, several times it was like catch, go, oh, he's gone by that guy. So – yeah, and even, you know, he was trying to get to, like, his mid-range, which, you know, he likes, like, the – Moody likes, like, the 14-footer, which I could see, you know, especially in high school, even in college. Like, yeah, Arkansas, sure, fine. Like, go do that at Arkansas. That's probably better than if you ran offense at times. But in the NBA, particularly on the Warriors, in his first few seasons, spot up in the corner, spot up on the wing at times, shoot the three, looks pretty, form looks good, hit a couple tonight, and then defend – and defend smartly and, you know, rebound when you can, help out in those margin areas. And just he just looks like he'll be able to do it.
I also like that he's got a pretty good frame and he's got that 7'1 wingspan. So maybe he will be someone who can switch defensively. And you mentioned the rebounding, that that's something that's important to do if you're going to kind of play in this Warriors system a little bit. I do think maybe the one way that he can be – have some plays run for him would be coming off of screens and shooting. You know, he did take one pretty quickly coming off a handoff. He took one pretty deep three. So maybe that's where, and you know, he can get a few trick plays, get to the foul, and he had a pretty high free throw rate for the type of player that he was in college. And so I think all that is something you feel good about. And he's just a smooth player who just play smart. I think just someone who I enjoy watching out there on the floor.
Yeah. Beyond that, I mean, is there anything else? I mean, Jessup, again, not impressive. Wasn't really impressive in his debut either. I at this point, would guess he's probably not going to take up a roster spot on a team that is trying to go, you know, future slash present, is going to have Wiseman and obviously these two rookies on the roster. Like, I doubt Jessup will take up an extra spot. We'll see what happens the rest of the free agency with the Warriors. Finally, I should ask you this, just your quick thoughts overall on Bielitsa and Porter as additions and the Warriors in general offseason.
Yeah, I think they're disappointed. It looks like, as you've said, that they're probably leaning towards not using the mid level. And at this point, I understand that because I don't think there is that player who's worth it. Honestly,
is what you're saying, worth it. It's not just the $5.9 million. You're talking maybe $25, $30-ish million on a tax bill.
Right, exactly. So, and with the repeater tax this year, you know, I think if I'm Bob Myers, for whoever is left, really, you know, maybe if it's Dennis Schroeder or Reggie Jackson, okay. But outside of those guys, I can't go to Joe Lacob with a straight face and say, hey, pay $35 million for
Isaac Bonga.
It could be worth a low-cost flyer for somebody, maybe not the Warriors, but in any event, yeah, so they didn't get Mills. You know, he probably would have been worth it. They didn't get Batum. Those seem like the two guys that would have been worth spending that on.
What do you think of Danny Green?
Yeah, well, when you and I talked about this before the show, like, I'd forgotten that Danny Green's the guy who actually injured Klay Thompson, yeah. So I don't know if there's any bad blood there.
Well, Klay's
said that, but
nobody has. I will say I asked somebody in the organization about the idea of Danny Green, and they jokingly were like, think Klay would sign off on that? You know, I don't know that that's actually an impediment. Yeah. But, yes, I mean, Danny Green did make a defensive effort play in a finals that has altered the career of one Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, that's one where I might think about it. You know, even some of these guards, like, are these guards going to be better than what Jordan Poole was giving them towards the end of last year? You know, I'm not sure that's the case.
Well, okay. I forgot to ask you about this. The third probably most relevant player in the game tonight from a Warriors perspective, what do you think of Gary Payton as that guy?
Yeah. Well, we got to get back to Porter and Bielitsa, too, because I digress from that question. But, yeah, it's just tough when he can't shoot it that well, and he can't really run pick and roll. I mean, they really only have at this point two guards on the roster. Mannion is still unsigned. I don't want to count on him. I mean, the good thing about Payton,
he's destroying it for Italy right now in the Olympics.
The good thing about Payton is that he has a ton of athleticism and he can guard and can give you some pace.
Smart player, good cutter, all that. But, yeah. The shot, like, he's not going to space the floor because defenses just won't respect the shot.
Now, worth noting, I mean, they've made JTA into a guy who can hit shots, right?
And Payton hit a couple tonight.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe – but I think if they do keep him around, you know, his contract guarantees for $600K in a few days. So, it's hard to imagine that they would keep him around for that. Also, since he was on a two-year minimum, his number is a little bit higher than if they were to just cut him and re-sign him. And I don't know if he would want to agree to that to come back, and maybe there's another team that would give him guaranteed money. I mean, he definitely is a very good NBA athlete, so someone you'd like to have in your system, but it's just – and maybe there are better options out there. They might feel like this year's Brad Wanamaker would be more of a priority.
Oh, no.
Potentially.
Don't say it. Okay, Bielitsa Porter quick before I get you out of here.
Yes. Good subject change. So Porter, a good high upside signing, but obviously, I mean, has one of the worst medical sheets in the league at this point. And, you know, with his hip injury, which seems like a chronic thing, foot injury. Now you might say, hey, all they need him to be is healthy for 2 months at the end of the year.
And it was back a lot last year too. Yeah. And like the film, it's not even just the games missed. You pop on the film and you're like, that's a player that seems like he's playing pretty compromised. Last season compared to if we went to his best season on the Wizards, he just looked like a different level athlete with different, more burst.
Well, yeah. And also he got fat with Chicago too. I mean, that's just, quite frankly, what happened. I think maybe that was intentional because he felt like he's always told he was too skinny, or, you know, who knows what that was. But he's obviously going to be a motivated player. We saw with Nick Batum, who also got a bit corpulent in Charlotte on the end of a big contract. That the same thing will happen for Porter. And if healthy, he's exactly what they need.
We will probably know early in camp, or, you know, preseason, like what kind of shape did he come into? Just how good does he look? Even remember Nick Young? Remember the Nick Young experience with the Warriors? They kind of knew early on, like, he's not where they wanted him to be just from a conditioning standpoint. We may know quick with Porter.
Yeah, will Steve be making the Nick Young, D'Angelo Russell memorial, he's got to get into better shape in camp comments to the media?
We'll see. Bielitsa? Floor space and big that they need next to Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, they never have shooting at those positions, it seems like, right? And so he can take deep threes. I mean, you've seen him hit huge shots at the end of games for the Kings at times from way out. And he's also a passer and cutter in the Warriors system. The question is defensively, can he hold up? It really does seem, though, like they're trending towards just they're going to play Draymond at center a lot more. Maybe they feel like, number one, with his offensive limitations that have become more stark by the year, and number two, that he did actually hold up playing center just fine, which I think Steve always felt like, well, we don't want to put that on him, but he played center 20 minutes a game for a lot of last year, and it doesn't appear like a veteran center option is in the offing, and so they go into it just with Looney and Draymond. You know, Wiseman, I guess he's walking around looking fine, so I guess he'll probably be back. But
yeah, I talked to him a little bit yesterday. He seems pretty encouraged where he's at physically. I mean, and everyone you talk to does believe he'll be ready for camp, which, you know, that's, you don't know with the meniscus. You saw how long it took for Jaren Jackson, and I must say about Jaren Jackson, Memphis was always like, gonna be ready soon, and it really dragged on. So it's not a sure thing, but physically, Wiseman, I mean, I saw him out there shooting set shots on the court. Like, he's already doing some stuff on the court, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I think so. So, but, you know, they're going in really without an established center option, which you thought maybe they would need to do. So, you know, I mean, if I had to guess, I still think Wiseman will probably start at center next year.
I'm not sure game one. I mean, depends on, like, if he really has a full camp.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to, you know, it'll be full camp, full preseason. Like, he'll have to shut. Like, he's not just going to be handed it. I'd say that. He'd have to go win the job.
Right. But, I mean, Looney is just that combination of him and Draymond offensively is pretty rough. I mean, now, obviously, the numbers were terrible with Wiseman out there, too. Yeah. But
one of the things I would say about why, like, not he has to go win the job, but at the same time, if he shows they're ready to hand it to him when he proves it, right? It won't be like, you got to go rip it from Looney. It's just like, please go beat Looney.
Yeah, Joe Lacob's going to be sitting in there in the coaches' meetings after he picks out some snippets of practice footage of Wiseman
going. So we're going Wiseman at the 5 and Kuminga at the 3 tonight, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you know, good start here for this Warriors draft, which I think we both liked pretty well coming in.
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. All right, Nate, appreciate you coming on. Everyone, Dunked On podcast. If you're looking for more Nate's work, and I believe we are going to have a Warriors plus minus with me, Marcus, and Tim tomorrow. I believe. Talk to you then.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner StubHub has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.